Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from 1 Kings chapter 22, the first three verses. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? And we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Now the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24 and verse 1. We are not owners, not in the absolute sense of the word. We are but temporary stewards. We have use and control over many things, but only for a relatively short while. Eventually, we must give an account for the use, or possibly the misuse, of that which has been entrusted to our care. 1 Corinthians 4 in verse 1, Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now there is a restricted sense in which we can say things are ours when making the distinction between that over which we are stewards and that over which others are stewards. Such an idea is expressed in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. When Peter was rebuking Ananias and Sapphira for their folly in lying to the Holy Spirit about what they had given, he said, While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Now some things are ours, not because we have absolute ownership, but are ours in the sense that they are within our power to control. There are many things over which we have no personal control. The raging of the elements certainly falls into that category. We can control tornadoes and floods and earthquakes. There are events and worldwide significant things that are beyond the power of most people to shape and to instigate and regulate. But there are those things over which we have control, and we're accountable for using that power of control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, For all things are yours. You see, when God created man, he said in Genesis 1 and verse 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. Collectively, the human family is rich. It has great power to control many things. And we, as individuals, also have certain controls as well. Shall we not recognize our responsibility in using such power? Now, we have possessions that sometimes we do not really possess. Now, this may at first sound as if it is a contradiction, but this is the same idea that was expressed in our text. There was this area called Ramoth that rightly belonged to Israel. As the king of Israel said, it is ours. But the problem was that it had fallen under the occupation and control of the king of Syria. Ramoth was a possession that they did not actually possess. Obadiah 17 reads, And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. It is rather strange to speak of possessing in the future sense what is already called a possession. The explanation is that they had possessions that they really did not possess. Something that should have been under their control was not under their control, even though such was intended. Things we should control are not always controlled. The Lord has given man power that man sometimes refuses to use. One instance of this possibly is found in John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Friend, to believe is not all there is that's necessary to become a child of God. To believe gives one power to become, the right to become a child of God. Sometimes this passage is abused to try to prop up the false doctrine of salvation by faith alone. It teaches just the opposite of that. It refutes that doctrine. If one believes, in the sense of mere mental assent, the truth, but does not act in obedience to the commands of the truth, he fails to use the power that his belief offers him. His faith brings him to the place where he knows he can and he ought to obey. And if he does, he rightly uses that power. If he does not obey, then he fails to use the power that he has. We're often not powerful, and it is not because the Lord has failed us, but because we do not use the power that he's offered us. Man has the power to come to Christ, but all will not come. We can become more than conquerors through Christ, but many will never be spiritually victorious. In fact, they will suffer eternal defeat because they will not utilize the power that is within their grasp. We all have, and we learn from the inspired Scripture, all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. But our lives are not always godly. We have freedom from the bondage of sin through the truth, John 8:32. But we're not always free from sin. Man is offered peace with God, Romans 5 and verse 1. But we're not all at peace with God. Salvation has been brought to all, Luke 19 and 10, but all are not saved. Christ is at the door of every heart, Revelation 3 and verse 20, but not every heart is open to him. We have unpossessed possessions, our own Ramus, if you please, blessings that are ours for the taking, but which have not been taken. Matters over which we can and should exercise control, but have not used that power and control. I want us to speak in this lesson and possibly one others, considering this matter of possessions that we have that we really do not possess. Our children are within our power. Now, this may not be true of all, however, because some children have grown to maturity and are now responsible for themselves. There comes a time when parents can no longer be held responsible for the lives of their children. Also, some children are not within the power of their parents because parents have lost control by not exercising their power and authority when they could have done it. But it should be true of children who are still under the guidance and oversight of their parents that the parents have power over their children. Genesis 4 and verse 1, Eve said concerning the birth of her son, and this was the son Cain, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now possibly many parents have not recognized that our children are from the Lord and have been entrusted to us. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb his reward. Hannah said of Samuel, 1 Samuel 1, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Our children are within our power to direct and to train and to shape and to mold as we choose. Every parent ought to be jealous of this power. He ought to guard this right, as well as sensitive to his responsibility. We should not allow the state, the schools, friends, or the devil or any of his agents to usurp that authority that we have concerning our children. Neither should we neglect exercising this authority ourselves. Psalm 127 verse 4 teaches that our children are as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We can determine more than anyone else in the world, other than the children themselves, their direction in life. The old adage says, as the twig is bent, the tree will grow. It is not easy, sometimes impossible, to straighten the crooked in a full-grown oak that grew in such fashion because of what happened to it when it was but a sapling. Our children are saying to us, as the Gibeonites said to Joshua, and now behold, we are in thy hand. As it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. The tragedy of the family of Eli was, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Before the birth of Samson, his father entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Judges 13 and verse 8. Should not this be the prayer of every prospective father and mother? What a noble and honorable request. Again in verse 12, Manoah said, Now let thy word come to pass. How shall we order this child? And how shall we do unto him? If only parents would be this concerned about their children, that they would seek the will of the Lord regarding their upbringing, things would be far better. The responsibility of a child should bring the parent closer to God, because we cannot properly rear our children apart from God. Is it not too obvious that many young people are reaching physical maturity without having God before them? Has your child caused you to seek God's help and to be more dependent on Him? Have you asked, as these Bible characters ask, What shall I do for my son? How shall I order the child? Is the young man safe? Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Now, friend, these passages bind upon the parents the duty not only to supply the material provisions, but the spiritual guidance and training of the child. The upbringing and education of the child is the responsibility of the home. Schools are only to assist the home, not replace the home, not to usurp the home. The heart of education is education of the heart. Genesis 18 and verse 19, it was said of Abraham, For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Can this be said of us, and the handling of our own children? What a charge is given to parents in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Are our children safe, spiritually safe, in the environment and with the habits that they are forming, the language that they are hearing and using, the values that they are making, the attention that they are getting, the training that they are receiving? It is unthinkable that our children will listen to verbal advice, but ignore the example that we set before them in our own lives. We cannot lift our children unless we stand on higher ground. The things of God must not be hidden from our children. The generation to come must be shown the praises and the works and the testimonies of the Lord. And why? So that the generation yet to come might know these things, and set their hearts in God, and keep His commandments, that they might live successfully here on earth, and live eternally with God in the life beyond this one. Yes, dear friend, our children are within our power. They are our possession. But do we possess them? Are we controlling them? What kind of stewards are we being regarding them? Shall we be still and allow them to fall into the hands of the devil? There are many matters about which we must be diligent. But is there anything that is more sobering and demanding and insistent and urgent than this of which we have spoken regarding our children? Our children might be considered one of our remus, one of our blessings, one of our possessions. Do we really possess our possession? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.